Opinionated Marketers,
a podcast from Cambridge Marketing College.
Hello and welcome to this week's Opinionated Marketers. Today we're doing something slightly different. We're going to discuss a book which we've both been reading, The Power of Creative Destruction. Kieran and I quite often will discuss our new ideas or new pieces of literature that we've come across, and so we decided that we will perhaps delve into some of the more thought-provoking texts that are coming out these days on a regular basis. So this is the first of those, and this is a book produced by several American and French authors. My French pronunciation isn't particularly good, but Kieran will undoubtedly correct us when we get round to the authors. But the book on the power of creative destruction we thought was a good one because we're constantly talking about innovation and the impact of this phrase, creative destruction. And what does it mean and how is it important? If we carry on from last week's discussion where we were talking about innovation in the way in which people like Harvey Nichols were looking at going into the recycling of clothing, and we were also talking about Philip Kotler's discussion about buying less. The point that I was making at the end was that marketers are both saviour and perhaps savage in the fact that we're often criticised from the point of view of producing far too much marketing communications, which encourages people to buy things they don't need. But on the other hand, we are extremely good and are often looked to as being one of the ways in which we can innovate and bring about change in the economy and indeed in society. Innovation isn't the same thing as invention. So we're not necessarily rocket scientists in terms of going into our labs and creating new things, but we allow the innovation of that invention, i.e. the spreading of it, around. And this book has got some very interesting, perhaps liberal views coming from a French academic background. So let us kick off with some of the ideas that are within the book. Kieran, what did you find in the book and what did you think was of interest?
I thought it was very interesting because there's an awful lot of texts and books that we read at the moment that are all about how dreadful everything is. So I must admit, this book was your recommendation. And I opened the dust jacket and it said, crisis seems to follow crisis. Inequality is rising. Growth is stagnant. The environment is suffering. And COVID-19 pandemic has exposed every crack in the system. And I thought at the time, oh, crumbs, Charles, what have you got me into? But actually, the they're very strong about the answer is not revolution, it's actually better capitalism, which I think is something Kotler would be arguing for. It's something probably it's easier to explain to people than we have to sort of throw everything down and start again. We can work on what we've got, we can make incremental but huge changes. So I thought it was a far more positive read than I was originally expecting from the initial blurb.
It is initially quite daunting in the fact that it is a large book and covers some fairly, what might appear to be fairly dry subjects. But it does take, I think, a synthesis of new ideas and existing trends. And one of the good things is that it has been written during and the COVID pandemic, so it is fairly up to date. The aspect that I think is the synthesis of the book is in the towards the end of the book is the aspect that there is a golden triangle, as they would see it, between the state, the marketplace, and civil society. And I think they bring together those elements which we've seen pre-pandemic, which were things which were that capitalism wasn't serving a large number of people. There was a great growth in inequality, and people were divided between the haves and the have-nots. This has been exacerbated by the pandemic, and the role of the state has become one which has been heavily discussed, versus the role of the market. And they juxtapose the German stroke Scandinavian approach to innovation, as opposed to the American approach. And I think from a marketer's perspective, it does talk about the fact that innovation is something to be encouraged and to be developed, even if it happens to be causing unemployment in the short term, because in the long term it will create employment and will improve society. And I think the book in itself talks about why we fear technological revolutions, but the fact that, you know, essentially speaking, competition is a good thing. The balance becomes where competition creates waste and destroys resources, and does that balance out within the long run, producing a positive output in terms of new ideas, services, etc. And we as marketers would probably say that we are leading a much better life now than we were maybe 50 or certainly 100 years ago as a result of the innovation that has gone on, but it has come at a cost. And now we have to think, and I think this is the point that this book makes very well, that it now needs to be considered from a sustainable perspective, or indeed a green innovation perspective. Kieran, are you happy with the concept of innovation as being the saviour of the planet?
I think innovation is our only way to get out of the current mess that we have created. One of the things I really liked about the book was an entire chapter on creative destruction and the Golden Triangle, where they actually talk about the importance of citizenship and citizens being mobilised to make changes and the amount of changes that that has created. I think it's quite refreshing in an economics book to see something about the importance of social media, the importance of collectivism, and how consumers and people getting together can make changes. Would you agree, Charles?
I would indeed, and I think it's an interesting aspect in the fact that it, I think, really now shows that the level of education in the marketplace as to what basic levels of marketing and business and economics is understood, I think now indicates that you know, there are a large number of people out there who would be happy to change on the basis they know that it would be for the better. That may sound a bit of a non sequitur, but the point I'm thinking of is the fact that we now know that we need to change our lifestyles, but we don't want to go back. Because we, you know, we see some things that have happened in the past and we don't want them to happen again. So we want, therefore, to progress. And we know that change is something that's built into our lives now. And therefore, we accept that change. And I think that acceptance is something that is positive. And we would see as a marketers that we can build on that movement for change in society. It does, I think, presuppose that we think about ourselves in a more benevolent way than perhaps the old terminology that we might have had 20 years ago, which was to exploit marketplaces, to attack markets, etc. It should now be done jointly with people and with forces in society for society's good.
Yes, I think there's a lot less of an element of leave it to us, you little people. You know, we as the economists can put it right. I'm not suggesting these economists ever said that, but I think there has been a classical economy view that economists can do it all or politicians can do it all. But actually, this is a much more inclusive argument. As a book generally, I will say that I did enjoy it, but I did have to read it in smaller chunks. It benefits from some lovely phrases. A well-designed system of flexicurity protects individuals, I thought was a very interesting phrase. I thought it was a really interesting read.
I think the terminology that you're referring to is this mixture of European and American flexibility in terms of security in healthcare and unemployment. There is quite a lot of juxtapositioning between what it's like to be impacted by innovation in America, where you might be thrown out of work, and the consequence of that is that you have no healthcare. Whereas in the Europe, the likelihood is that the healthcare continues because it's not reliant upon the employment or your employer. And I do think that it has quite a nice roundup of the situation in places around the world. It's not just American orientated, which quite a few of the textbooks coming out at the moment too tend to be, and it's not just European orientated. So I think it is to be commended, because it's an international book from that perspective, and I think it gives a good guiding light for business people as they look at the way in which the next 20 years are going to roll out and how they should become part of it. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I don't think there's anything specifically in terms of a model or unique new paradigm that one can say that you need to take away, but it is a very good thought-provoking book, and as such I recommend it to anyone who's listening.
So we've been discussing The Power of Creative Destruction by Philippe Aguillon and et al. I don't want to risk my French pronunciation slipping.
Good for you.
And that is published by Belknap Harvard, and we'll put the link on the podcast.
Like and subscribe to this feed for more podcast content.
From Cambridge Marketing College.